Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Bennett, and each week I bring you exciting new guests to talk about various aspects of UFOs and the paranormal. And like I always say, there is so much to talk about because this is a huge and exploding field, and it's just a very, very exciting time to be a researcher in the paranormal and UFOs. I hope you enjoyed our show last week when our guest was Larry Flaxman, and we were talking about paranormal activity in Arkansas. Very interesting guest. He's using science to study the paranormal, using like $200,000 worth of the latest technology. So it's pretty interesting stuff, and they've caught some really interesting stuff on video and in other instruments, and it was a very interesting show. Check it out. But tonight, we're moving on to another different aspect of UFOs and the paranormal. I'll call it paranormal, but in a way I think that there's no such thing as the paranormal. It's just what we don't understand and aren't able to explain doesn't make it, you know, paranormal or scary or anything like that. But at any rate, tonight we're going to be talking about dream channeling. It's a very interesting subject, dream channeling, and our guest is Jenny Vaught, who has been studying this subject for many years and also experiencing it as well. And I don't know about how many of you out there, what you think of dreams, if you remember your dreams. I know that mainstream psychiatry has largely relegated dreams to the garbage of the mind, one leading psychologist called it, which is really just ludicrous and offensive, because I actually think dreams are some of the most important things that we have in our lives. They have the power to heal us, to change us, to actually give us messages from the future, from our deceased loved ones. I think they're half-remembered out-of-body experiences many times, and there's just a wealth of information, messages from your higher self, and that's the sort of thing we're going to be talking about tonight with our expert in dream channeling, Jenny Vaught. I'm so happy to have you on the show, Jenny. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, this is awesome. Thank you. I love to talk about dreaming.
Oh, it's, you know, it's my favorite subject. Well, I've got a lot of favorite subjects.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, dreams have really had a huge, huge effect on my life. And some of the dream experiences I have are more real than my waking life experiences.
Oh, I believe that dream time is the real time. Yes, it is. Yeah, and there are many kind of dreams areas that we go into. We have the dreams of everyday stuff, you know, that our mind is just kind of unloading as we, you know, rest and recuperate and restore ourselves when we sleep. But then there are times when we go into those other dimensions or spaces with dreams, and for myself, I become a watcher.
Right.
I'm watching experiences. I'm out of my body, and I am watching people and things that I don't know or have no experience with, and pretty soon those people come along in my life.
Wow.
I find it really fascinating. Here's an example. I was out of my body in a dream, and I was a watcher. And I was in a country wooded area, and I was looking through the window of a car, and I could see the driver. It was a young man.
Right.
And behind him was an older man, probably in his 60s, and next to him was somebody I knew, another man. And the man sitting next to the other man, the young man is driving, was crying. And I didn't quite understand, and then all of a sudden he moved to the front seat, the crying man, and he wasn't crying anymore, and he was talking and being in a companion, really friendly situation with the young driver. And well, about 24 hours later, I got a call from the man who had been crying. I said, you know, I had a dream. It wasn't just a dream, but I was watching. And I described the young man. I'd never met this man. It was his son, and his son was just recovering from an alcohol addiction. And the man behind him was his stepfather, who had recently passed away. And it was the man finally was able to let go of his grief and sit as a companion and let this young man drive the car. So it was a really amazing, healing experience for this person to have someone confirm. A lot of it is confirming for other people,
right,
you know, like
right.
their witness, you know, so they can, they kind of get, oh, yeah, all right, what I'm experiencing is real and what I'm seeing is real, especially when you have someone who you barely, hardly know comes in and starts giving you detailed information.
That is so interesting. You know, and I find this particularly fascinating because, you know, I've had a lot of out-of-body experiences myself. Following the death of my mother, I got really interested in it, and I tried exercises in various books. First, I started keeping a dream journal.
Yes, that's the best way. Most people say they can't remember their dreams, and keeping a dream journal is, you know, they do. They say, oh, I have dreams, but I can't remember them.
Right, right.
Yeah, but keeping a dream journal is really important, and having it right by your bed or somewhere so you can jot down just a few notes to jog you your memory as soon as you wake up, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever woken up and looked at your dream book and you're like, huh, I can't even read that?
I don't have any journals anymore. I actually have a really good memory now with them because they're very detailed and very, very detailed. And I usually, when I have a really big dream, I'll get up. I get up and I let my dogs out and I sit and process for a few minutes and then, you know, I might go to my journal and write a few things down, and but I don't have to log it like I did years ago. I used to have to log it a lot because I was like one of those people. I just had these dreams, but I would say, oh, I don't remember my dreams. I know I have them. But I think right now, which is what I'm hearing from so many of my friends and people in my spiritual circles, is that the dream time is just profound right now. The messages that are coming in personally for your own spiritual well-being and growth are very present.
I totally agree. People so underestimate the power of dreams. They really do. And so my question to you is, I mean, were you always lucid in your dreams? How did you get into this subject and where you started to, you know, take dreams seriously and allow them to transform your life?
Well, I was born, you know, with a long memory, a kind of a clairvoyant child. My aunties and my mother had the gift, but it was more of clairvoyance. You know,
right.
They did listen to their dreams. Then I had a near death in 1984, a very profound experience. And I walked for many years trying to deny my experience. You know, one of the things people who have these experiences, they don't share it a lot until you get where you can't anymore.
Right.
And the dreams were coming, and there was no way I could deny or stop. So once I surrendered and just allowed it to flow and let it happen, I became happier, you know, and I realized that sometimes I'll even, you know, I would never do this. I tend to be kind of a shy person, never go up to people I don't know. But now, if I'm very prompted, I will step forward and say something to someone. It might even be in a grocery store line. It might just be a few words. And they go, it's whatever, it's like the mathematics kind of click in for them. It's like the key in the lock. All of a sudden, that little bit of information, you know, all of a sudden sets a pathway going for them. And I just, you know, sometimes you have to be courageous to do those things, you know. And first of all, you have to start believing it, too. You have to understand that what you're experiencing is when you leave the body, you're in spaciousness. You're not in the past, present, or the future. You are so present in the now, and there's someone higher and bigger than you wants to tell you something, show you something for the assistance of humanity and someone else. It really is. It gets really to simple things, you know, and it's all about having compassion and caring for your fellow humans in the world. It really is. And if you're willing to raise your hand, as I put it, raise your hand and say, okay, you'll get it. Be careful what you ask for, you know.
Right, right.
Because they will, it's so cool. It's because it's like you trigger something in someone else and it gives them a little more confidence, and they pass it on, and it goes in this wonderful spiral that it just keeps going and flowing. And all of a sudden, sometimes it comes right back to you with a phone call, you know, is how all the things all hook together and it just circles right back around. And I just absolutely love that, you know.
Right.
Wonderful. Yes.
You know, one thing I noticed in my own experience is each time I would have an out-of-body experience, I would also have a precognitive dream. And I don't know how many total, but it's been, you know, probably a couple of hundred at least.
Yeah.
And when your dream comes true and you're basically walking into the dream world while you're in the physical world, and it's almost like the physical world becomes very dreamlike. For me, this has been my experience. And I'm just wondering, have you had, you know, precognitive dreams, and what is your theory on how we can see the future, and what's your experience with that whole realm of perception?
Yeah, well, you know, you're right. You know, it's like you walk through this physical world, and it is just like, sometimes I liken it, when I was in school, we used to make these little flip books, you know, it'd be cartoon characters, you know, flip, 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 you know, and the little guy would move across the page or whatever, and that's what I feel like, and I see, it's like flip, 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 and all of a sudden I'm in, and I can be in a blink of an eye and not really even be lying down sleeping. It's that theta wave, wherever, when you practice this a lot, it still is a dream state. The brain dreams a lot.
Even while we're awake,
so,
would you say?
Walking, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Right.
And we can step into those areas. You know, and I now, if I get a little nudge and they say, no, you're supposed to wait 10 more minutes before you leave to go to the store, I wait 10 more minutes. I don't question these things anymore, because there is a divine order as the grand wheel turns in our life and we get more connected. See, I believe that we were always telepathic and we were always dreamers.
Right.
And somehow we have forgotten our ability, forgotten this wonderful gift and part of this amazing brain and this spirit that we have. And when we surrender and allow and believe, that what is happening to us is true, and it comes back to us, and we see the effects on other people, we know. You know, there's an interesting pattern that's popping up now as I'm talking to other people who work in the dream world, is that they wake up early, and they might actually get up and, you know, do their exercise or their walk or their run and have their tea or coffee, and all of a sudden they'll get extremely sleepy. A couple hours after they wake up, they will lie down and have, that's when the dreams are happening right now. And they might sleep for maybe just an hour, and they wake up and they're like, whew, wow, you know, I have to call this person, and this is going to happen here, and, you know, it's very interesting. The messages people are getting now, I think people are more wanting now through the dream world, they see themselves in a community with other dreamers. I believe we can see each other for years. There was a group of women and I, and we called ourselves the Sisterhood of the Dream, kind of like the little Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants movie thing, you know. So what we did was we would cognitively say, let's work on Tuesday night and let's see what we can do. And we would all chart or, you know, dream and then write down our experiences, and I'll be darned if we weren't all seeing like a gold canyon we would go to, and that we were all praying for this certain family, or, you know, we were working on plants and bringing healing energies in, and there was a theme that was going on when we worked together in this group. It was very cool, you know, because we're remembering, you know.
Right.
Remembering our original state, speak without words.
It's really cool, because I would do that type of experiment with my brother and my sister-in-law, and we would we would sometimes, you know, be aware of each other, but usually not. We would just come back with like very similar stories. I mean, strikingly similar, almost identical on a few occasions.
Yeah.
So obviously, I mean, that's evidence right there that something is going on.
Right, and you know, sometimes it's like people get different pieces. And when we get more sure of ourselves, You know, sometimes I'll take my cell phone when I do my couple-mile walk in the morning. You know, it's my time to just clear my head and enjoy the sky and watch the birds, and I might sit down in a little park area. But I might get a really strong intuition. Call Lisa. Okay. So I call Lisa, and I say, Lisa, da-da-da-da-da. And she'll go, oh, no, and then add this, da-da-da-da-da. Now you need to call James, da-da-da-da-da. And it's very interesting because it's like we've all been receiving different pieces of this information. And it might be, I got a dream that you need to go have your blood sugar tested. Okay? It might be a physical thing. It might be, you know, that job you're looking at. Oh, that I kind of got a no on that. You need to check that out. You know, maybe you're supposed to, you know, go down here.
Well,
I had a dream that you were going to have a, get a green car. You know, and it's quite interesting as we get these little messages from each other, and that we can put them all together. It's very helpful.
All right. Well, Johnny, this brings me to my next question, because this is something that's happened to me, and
yep.
I've read about this, is because sometimes you get messages that aren't good news. I mean, like, I dreamt that a friend was going to have some sort of accident or become ill, and he had a heart attack, but I didn't tell him that I had this dream.
Right.
And I've had that sort of, you know, experience before. Sometimes it's like major disasters. I'm like, oh, my God, you know, I dreamt of there's going to be a shipwreck. And there was. There was a shipwreck.
Right.
But how? And, you know, it's nerve-wracking when this happens to you. How do you recommend people react to this? Should they tell someone?
Yes, I would. You know, I try to tell them, and I do it with as much grace and compassion as I can. It's not like, let me tell you this. It's not a, you know, pointing the finger kind of thing. Because, you know, like I said, the grand wheel turns, and there's things that happen that are set in motion that are lessons that we're learning, you know. And sometimes I get a dream, and I don't know who they are. They haven't come to me yet. And I'm like, well, what good is this? What if, you know, what's the point? And I was on Vision Quest once, and I was experiencing this, people just running amok. You know, they were too busy with their cell phones and running in their cars, and you know, I was seeing all this catastrophe going on around them, and they were just like, you know, on this freeway going like crazy, and I'm trying to tell them, and no one wanted to listen. And I was like, you know, Spirit, what is the point that I know this? What can I do? And you know what they said? They said, just do the best you can. If one person will listen to you, you've done a good thing. And do the very best you can with the gifts that you have. We can't make them all see. We can't make them all experience. No matter, sometimes if we tell them, they'll do it anyway. You know?
Right.
So, you know, that's the hard one. That's a difficult one, you know? And it's taking time sometimes just to get quiet, you know, and just kind of tuning in and seeing if we should. You know, it's kind of like that thing, just because we can doesn't mean we should. You know, there's great discernment sometimes with different experiences. Yeah.
Right. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight is Johnny Vaught. That's V-A-U-G-H-T. And we're talking about dream channeling. Now, Johnny, do you have a website that you would like to refer people to?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. It's www.bluefeatherhealingarts.com. Bluefeatherhealingarts.com, yeah.
Nice
and,
name.
Yeah, I carry a blue macaw feather. And I just, you know, it's always been with me, and it's been on my walls and been in my car, and it's been with me a long time, and everywhere I go, I see bluebirds. It's the funniest thing. You know, some people see crows or hawks or eagles or stuff. I see bluebirds or blue jays, or I'll get a little tiny blue feather on the ground, you know, and it's just, to me, they're trail markers. They're just a point that says, hey, you know, you're in the right spot at the right time. Yeah.
Right, right. And I also want to remind everyone listening that this is a call-in show, so I'm going to give you out the toll-free number right now. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment or you want to share a story. We would love to hear from you. Here's the number right now, 888-228-4494. I'll say it again, 888 888-228-4494, and we're talking about dreams. Now, Johnny, what do you think about, like, the Australian Dreamtime? That's basically what you're doing, huh? When you have a clairvoyant experience, you're sort of stepping into the whole Dreamtime and have
yes,
access.
And believing that dreams are more reality than our physical realm.
You know, I tell people that. They never believe me. And the way I convince them is I'm like, well, listen, the physical realm decays. We're there. You know, the dream world is more vibrant and it doesn't decay. It's alive and it's more colorful. It's more, I can't just describe to people what it's like when you become lucid in a dream. It's much more like being awake than it is.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
You know, they talk about us being all parts of the dream, and that's true in some of those kind of dreams that we're all those parts of the dream. But there's a time when you know that you are separate, you know, and some even people will feel themselves jolt up out of the dream, you know, and go into a different state or an out-of-body state. And as they, sometimes they're participants and sometimes they're watchers, you know. And those are the ones that we really need to pay attention. And, you know, it takes years. For me, I really didn't have someone who said, oh, you know, here, let's go do a workshop on dreaming, you know. It was really something that just kept coming into my life and coming in, and that I finally just had to pay attention, you know.
Right.
Really had to pay attention to these dreams. Can I give you another example?
Oh, please.
Dream.
Please.
I'm a massage therapist also by trade, and I still do a little massage therapy. And I was working on this woman, you know, with an alcohol, and I had this, and I'd had a dream of the house. And, you know, I kind of knew these people before I even entered the house. It was interesting. And when I walked in the house, I sensed a spirit of a young woman who had also been in a dream. She had dark hair and just really vivid blue eyes. And I gave the woman the massage, and I said, I really don't want to spook you out. You don't know who I am. And I said, but I dream this, and I experience a young woman in this house. And she goes, well, if you turn around, you'll see a picture of my daughter who was killed in a car accident.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, my, wow. And I continued to work with this family for years through pregnancies with their daughter and different things, you know, worked with them off and on through the years, had another dream. And this young woman came to me in this dream, and she was crying. Oh, the baby, the baby. And I'm watching. She's crying, the baby, the baby. And I wasn't even in the same state. I was kayaking in off the coast of Georgia, you know, and this was happening in Arizona. And so I called them up. They weren't even in town. I called up a friend. I said, well, I knew one of them had a baby. I was like, will you let me know if the baby's okay? I have this spirit dream keeps coming about the baby. Well, you know, a month or so later, I returned back to the area and called them up and told them I'm in town. I'm available for massage. And I'll be darned if they didn't show up at my door and tell me that the youngest daughter had breast cancer.
Oh.
And that's what the woman was crying about. That was her baby sister.
Right.
It wasn't her baby, you know. It was her sister.
Wow.
And it was very interesting because we can't, you know, it's like puzzle pieces. It's like, oh, I don't get this. You're saying the baby, you know, and the only baby I knew was the little baby. But to her, it was her baby sister. And in a dream, what the message was for them is it was urgent. You need to take care of this now.
Wow.
You know, she was weeping over her baby sister, who is now a grown woman. Interesting how the dreams come through. We don't always understand. We might get fragments and bits and pieces, you know, as we proceed with our dream experiences. And then all of a sudden, it kind of knocks on your door, literally. And it all falls into place. Very
funny. I know exactly what you're saying, because sometimes I'll have dreams which are very symbolic, and they're a message about, you know, maybe my psychological state or emotions or whatever.
Right.
Or maybe it's a true event, I don't know. And I had one dream, which a man was killed by a pet goat,
mm-hmm.
his pet goat. And I thought, you know, this is an odd dream to have. It really is, because it just, I had no reason for it. and I just couldn't make any sense of it. And that day on the news, there was a news story. A man had been killed by his pet goat, whom he had abused.
Right. Interesting, isn't it?
It is interesting.
Yes.
So there's a difference between, like, I mean, symbolic dreams and dreams that, you know, are actual.
Well,
is there a way to tell which are precognitive, I mean? I guess is what
I think you get a sense, a feeling for it. I mean, truly. You get more of an urgency, you know.
Right.
It's more urgent. And it's interesting you brought up an animal because animals can speak to us in dreams also. I don't have it happen very often, but it does happen. And one of them was, it's been a number of years ago, but I was in the dream state, and there were hundreds of cats crying and pawing and crying and pawing, and it was just such a sad dream, you know. And I was just like, well, I don't know what this means. And then it happened to be one of those cases where someone had hundreds of cats in their house, and these poor animals were in a horrible state, and they had to be taken out and all this. And I thought, wow, this is really interesting. I didn't know the dream state. Well, of course, you know, it's a consciousness. You know, you can't just think, oh, it's only going to be human.
Right.
You know, it's a consciousness. It was a crying out. It was an emotion was attached to it. It was a help me, you know. My thing is, and those kind of things, is I try to just bring comfort. Say, you know, it's okay. Help is coming. You know, and just be soothing, especially for an animal.
Right.
Yeah, when you get into this kind of work, you just really don't know what's going to come up. I mean, for sure, you know.
Oh,
right? Goats, cats, who knows?
It's really very, very interesting because, you know, the whole reason I got into this thing of dreams and out-of-body experiences was because my mom died, and I wanted to see where she was, what had happened to her, if there was life after death. And so I kind of made that my whole goal, and eventually I was able to have contact with her on many occasions, but also with my pets who had passed on. And wow, is it a real amazing experience to see, you know, revisit a loved one, including your pets?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. You know, and that includes, I've had experience with people with horses. Now, horses have huge spirits. And, you know, in Native Americans, they were honored. They had naming ceremonies, and, you know, the horse was a very powerful spirit, you know, and an ally. And I know people who have horses actually tell me that they dream that they're alive with them sometime, you know, that they're in the dream world experiencing just like their horse is still alive. And it's wonderful for them. So, you know, maybe, you know, it's just they come to us to help us
right.
with their passing or their experience that their compassion and their consciousness is different, but maybe not so much, you know. It's very powerful stuff.
Well, I got another good question for you, Jenny. And
yeah.
It's about past lives. Can we use dreams to discover our past lives?
I believe so, but I think that you have to really direct your dream to search for that. It will happen randomly. You can have random dreams, but I believe that we can lie down and get ready to go into our dream state, whatever your thing is, you know, brush your teeth, you know, get ready for bed, you know, or, you know, some people I know stretch out on their yoga mat, whatever they do, you know, to get ready for their dream, but with an intention. Once you get more dialed into this and really tune in, go in with an intention and say, Spirit, I would like to have some information on who I was. Could you just bring that in? Or who I worked with, who I knew. Can you bring those people in and show them to me? And I'll be darned if you don't start having these experiences. One just happened recently. I dreamed of this hide lodge. It looks like a little sweat lodge, but it's very ancient and old, and it has hides on it. And this man, who actually was a physical man, is a spirit now in the dream. He walks me up to it. And a lot of times when we experience these kind of dreams, we're children. Because we come as a child. We come with the innocence and the happiness and that carefree. We aren't weighted down with our worldly problems that we get, you know.
Right.
And I enter the lodge, and occasionally I see different people. And I recently saw a man that had a large scar across his face, right below his cheekbone. And I was shown this man in this dream. And I do, when I have a lodge dreams, I write everything down in as detail as I can, because these people come back. I mean, I meet them for sure and certain.
Wow.
And I was at Sundance up on the reservation this year, and I'll be darned, I was sitting in a circle, and I looked over to my left, and there he was. And the guy from the dream. And he didn't have a scar, but he'd had some kind of injury on that side of his face, you know, exactly in the same place. It was fascinating. And later on, I could share my dream with this individual and this man and tell him, you know, I've seen you before. I know you. So there's that past life stuff right there, you know, of historically the soul groups working together and now recognizing each other. One of my shaman teachers, he always tells me, those who know will know you. And I think that's something for you personally to take to heart, too. Those who know will know you.
Wow.
And they will be drawn to you and connect with you. And that's how that starts happening.
Yeah, I've had that happen several times, you know, where you just connect someone, and you're like, gosh, do I know you? And she's like, no, do I know you? I don't think, and we would go to everywhere we went, you know, and we just know each other.
It wasn't, you just caught up. You know, it's like time is going on this stream, and we're doing our journey, and all of a sudden, poof, we hit an intersection, you know. We hit an intersection, and there we are, you know. You know, I've had tremendous experiences just making eye contact with people in an airport or anything. You know, you're like, oh, there, I know you, you know. And then, boop, there they go. Never see them again, you know. Very interesting. So, you know, it's just being aware. But, you know, maybe we should talk about, too, protecting oneself in the dream time. You know, if you have, if you work with guardian angels or guides or what I call an anchor, someone that you work with, like my friend Lisa I work with, you know, is that you say, you know, only for the higher good do these messages come to me and through me and for me, for humanity. Only for the higher good, and only those that are working in the higher good can come in, you know, because,
right.
You know, you need to keep yourself safe, because when you're in the dream time, you're extremely vulnerable, you know. And
well, is it dangerous then? I mean,
no, I don't think it's dangerous. I think we can get what I call just maybe kind of some smarty thought patterns from people. You know, there are people who, just like me, can get up and walk around in their dream state.
Right.
And not all of them are of the highest intent. Maybe they're new. Maybe they're a little too curious or too nosy about someone else's business, or, you know, it could be multiple of things, you know, meddling, you know, around where they don't need to be. And when you call in, you know, and take care of yourself and keep that divine light and that God space around you, you will always be safe.
Right. Well, you know, I've been doing this, and I haven't for quite some time, and I can't say that I've ever really had any negative experiences, a little bit scary at times. One weird one was I was flying out of body, and I felt a hand grab my ankle, and it didn't feel human. It felt small and kind of webby, and I just peeled it off and went on my merry way.
But, right.
And, you know, I've studied this subject. I've read all the books on out-of-body experiences and dreams and stuff, and I can't find any examples of people who've been injured or seriously hurt. And people have described to me that they've, you know, feared that they were going to get locked out of their body and stuff like this, but then they always end up getting back into their body, at least as far as, you know, we know.
Yes, right. Well, that's the, you know, the silver cord that we have, you know, the divine
right.
connection. As long as you're, you know, you're connected still to your body's still alive, you know, and that you will, you know, come right back into it. And it's interesting because when you start experiencing, sometimes you, what I call slam back in. It's like learning how to fly an airplane or something, you know. It's like, you know, you're taking off and your reentry is a little rough and, you know, you're getting going, it's a little bumpy, you know, and you might bump and jostle around. And I know experiences when I would be out and I would literally visualize holding on to my cord that comes out of my umbilicus, you know, and kind of holding on to it as I travel. Now I don't need to do that, you know. But and reentering and coming back in with such a jolt and a shock, you know, it's like, boom, you know, it feels like you've had an earthquake in your house or, you know, the bed has moved or whatever, and all of a sudden, you know, you're back in. And it's really a skill, you know. It's something you practice and you use, and you get more skilled at it, and, you know, you can take off in your airplane and land it smooth, you know.
Right. Well, I tell people sometimes about, you know, these experiences, and they're like, oh, that sounds scary. I don't want to do that. And, you know, it can be, it was scary for me at first, but I always tell them, you know, ultimately I think that there's much more to benefit, you know, than from
absolutely.
To lose. And, for example, you know, it's healing, physical healing. I found like a dozen cases where people have had physical healing either in the dream state or the out-of-body state. Is that something that you would say is a possibility for people to do is get healed in the dream state? Physically?
Yeah, I really, you know, what's a universal law? Spirit first, the physical follows behind.
Right.
You know, and when we let the spirit part of ourselves, and our dream time is very much a part of that, you know, that more awareness, and that there are other places and beings and dimensions than we could ever imagine, then the physical follows behind. You know, and sometimes people might have physical illnesses, manifestations, because they're suppressing, you know, they're not letting, they're trying to have these experiences that they, it needs to come through, it needs to experience with them, they need to get these messages and these confirmations, but they just get too busy or too locked up, you know, in their everyday life to get quiet enough to really listen, you know. And sleep is very important, a good sleep, not drinking caffeine or having things that are going to keep you from going into a deep state of rapid eye movement where you go really deep into your sleep. There's, you know, people who stay asleep, but they're kind of really not going deep enough. They're not getting rest. Look at people in the world, you know. They're exhausted all the time, you know. And yes,
right.
You can go into that dream state, and again, if you're working on something specific, to go in and say, you know, I really need to work on this pre-diabetic situation I have going on. Show me, how do I need to eat? How do I need to live? You know, who do I need to see to help me through this? And I believe that that higher consciousness of ourself that will come through our dream time will come to us. And, you know, the big point, I guess, is just to listen and believe it and to follow through. Yeah.
All right. Well, I just interviewed a gentleman last week who, he had epilepsy his whole life, and then one time he had a really bad seizure and he popped out of his body, he said, and he went up and to the light and came back down and into his body, and he never had another seizure after that. He was cured.
That is cool.
Yeah. That's why I think it's so important for people to do this work. And, you know, the work that you're doing is so important because, gosh, you know, it can change people's lives so profoundly.
Yeah, I had this wonderful experience. And, again, it was a dream of a need in a woman, you know, an illness in a woman. And it just so happened that her grandson showed up and said, the whole family, out of nowhere, they just walked up to me and said, I hear you do, you know, some spiritual energy healing and stuff. I said, okay, yeah, okay, here I am. And, you know, they were, it was their grandmother, a beloved elder, and they weren't ready for her to go yet.
Huh.
And I said, well, I don't know what I can do for you. And this all came through because of a dream. And they were also, all of this family were having dreams, you know, and they were all searching in their dreams for someone to just give them a little direction. And we all came together at one point. Well, they brought her in her wheelchair, you know, very tiny little woman, and had very aggressive cancer, and they're all crying. And first of all, I said, you guys go sit over there. And I just, you know, I did, Spirit, what do you want me to do? And I just put my hands on her, and I said, be hungry, be thirsty. Be hungry, be thirsty. And she did not speak English. She only spoke Diné.
Huh.
No English, okay?
Right.
And I just gave her a lot of my own energy. And when I got done, she looks up, and in Diné, she says, I need some water, and go give me something to eat. And I'm like, wow, that was quick. You know, she drank a bottle of water. I mean, she couldn't swallow. She ate a whole carton of yogurt and was working on some chicken. Bless her heart. And
oh.
I took the family aside, and I said, well, collectively, this energy has come around. This has been something you guys were wanting, and I just happened to be the antenna. That's how I kind of see it. You know, I'm like,
right.
You know, I've got my antenna up. And I said, no more crying. No more crying. It's time for happiness now. It's time to be happy, and you joke, and you have fun with, you know, tell stories about when you guys were young, and, you know, and it just changed the whole energy of their time with their mother and grandmother, you know. And they were just lovely. They even came back the same day and visited, and she was doing better. Interesting how something can start with simple as a dream.
Right.
Kind of gets the wheels going, greases the energy, you know, gets the wheels rolling, you know, and they were brave enough to walk up to me, and I was open enough to say hi, you know, and just let it unfold. We never know when all these little magical things happen, you know. It's just, you know, I just show up. You know, I try not to make any plans. I just show up.
I think it's so much fun when you have that confirmation from a dream, and, you know, you're bringing your awareness full circle. I think it's really what the true use of dreams are. And,
right.
You know, Marilyn Hughes, I don't know if you know who she is, but she's written several books.
Yes.
About out-of-body experiences. And she said she was actually able to reach a point where she was continually conscious. She never actually went to sleep.
Right. Yes. I can have experiences. It's getting farther along. You know, I'm 55 now, and I've been doing this for a long time. And to where it can be, as what I call it, I see my eyelid close. And it happen as fast as a blink, you know, in my cognitive world, you know. And all of a sudden, within that blink of an eye, because you go into a space of timelessness.
Right.
Although my body is still living in this time, and the clock is ticking, when we can enter into that, we can go into this timeless, spacious place. Numerous things can happen, and the eye is opening again, and all I've done is blinked.
That's so cool.
Fascinating, interesting. When that started happening, I realized what was going on, that, you know, you can go that fast. And it really is, again, it's just paying attention.
Right. You know, what would happen to me is I'd lie down in bed, and I'd instantly kind of feel that vibration of when you're relaxing into the sort of vibratory state, and I was opening my eyes because I could see the room. But then I would open my eyes for real, and I realized they were shut. And I actually had myself convinced that I had really thin eyelids, and I could see through them at one point.
Right.
But before I realized what was actually happening. So it's amazing what this work does to your awareness. It really raises your awareness in a lot of ways, I guess. Would that be a fair statement?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah. Yes. You know, I believe, again, it's remembering at that true state of that true, what you talked about, that vibrational state, too. of where we can get to, where we can be, you know, is we're constantly growing and learning and changing. And, you know, we just need to just let it happen.
Well, have you had any scary experiences while doing this? I mean, like, what was your scariest or most unsettling type of out-of-body thing?
And not really in the out-of-body. I've had some, I call them grayscapes. They're not very colorful or no color, you know.
Huh.
And it can be a grayscape, you know. It's just I'm in a spot to where it's not that vibrant dream. I might be, it looks like winter in a winter sky. And
is that like a lower
kind of stagnation, you know, and I usually try not to stay there very long.
Is that like a lower dimension sort of
it type must
place?
Be it must be a you know a different space of a void,
right.
You know, it's like a void, you know, but what I have learned in training with shamanism is when we enter the void into that breathless, not it just stands still for that moment. It's like everything stops, boom.
Hmm.
And then immediately you can exit into that sacred garden or to that higher consciousness and be off the planet even and going. But sometimes you learn to, and I, for me, it's a surrender point. I'm surrendering my consciousness, my will, my ego. I'm just letting all of this. I have no agenda. I'm just willing to be the antenna and to watch and to then report. You know?
Well, yeah. What would you say is your most fascinating or wonderful or amazing or bizarre experience? You know, just one that sticks out in your mind.
Oh, well, when I had my near death, I had one of those really typical garden experiences, you know, and I went and I entered this garden, and one of the things, the themes, if you will, that comes in my dream time, and I meet people in the garden.
Huh.
I will be in this elliptical space. It is full of the tree of life and the crystal river and all the spirits of plants and everything imaginable and things we can't even imagine are there. And these people are there. And within this sacred space of this garden, I will meet folks and they will meet me. And sometimes I'm not fully conscious. Or can I carry back the message of everything that happened? But I know within this beautiful place, things did happen. Just like you were talking about spontaneous healings and, you know, within this vibrant. It's a light that doesn't hurt your eyes. It's so bright. It doesn't hurt your eyes. You'd think, oh, this should hurt my eyes, you know. And it's so restful and peaceful that within this space, those are my best ones.
Sounds like the heavenly realms or some aspect of them, huh?
Right.
You know, well, it's so wonderful you're doing this work and trying to awaken people in this particular era in history. And
yeah.
So much is going on right now. And I was wondering, you know.
I always remember I signed up for this. Oh, my God, what was I thinking?
Yes. Now, why did we do that, huh?
Yeah. Wow.
Do you have any feelings about, you know, our future on this planet and, you know, the spiritual awakening that's happening?
Yeah. Like I said, you know, a lot of us just came out of Sundance, and it was one of the best ones. I mean, it was so profound. And one of the things that, I mean, everybody was calling, oh, my God, the dreams. And I'm like, I know, just write them down, you know. Is that this is what they're telling us to do on our physical plane. Of course, everything we've just talked about, you know,
right.
Pay attention, first of all, was to get rid of stuff you don't need. We're too much junk, too much stuff. We really don't need these things. You know, pass them on to someone else. Sell them off. move them on, you know. Take care of much as your physical debt. Get your stress down, you know. And you know what is very interesting is that people are dreaming, and I call them arcs, you know, like the arc, you know, but they're not wooden. They're like, I had a dream, and I have to sell my property here, and I'm going to Washington, and I this is what I'm going to do. And they're building, I call them safe havens, harbors. There's all these harbors that are people are being inspired and almost driven to build for people to come to, people to come and learn, people to come for healing, or in catastrophe. You know, a lot of us feel that we are like in a race. We're charging straight ahead. And as we're moving along, our dreams are expanding, our consciousness is growing. We are racing for this date, this time, you know, of cataclysm. And, you know, can we change it? Yeah, maybe we can. You know, maybe we can all learn again to bring community back. We're all dreaming of community. Fascinating.
Right.
You know, we're dreaming of, you know, many people coming to a house and visiting and talking and sharing and having community, you know, and assisting one another with raising their children or having marital problems and helping each other out and whatever else. I mean, there's just so much within a community. You know, I look around. I live out of Phoenix. I don't see a lot of community here. Let me tell you, they hit that button and that garage door goes open and you never see them again. No?
Right, right.
Yes, but there are a lot of people who are dreaming and bringing it into reality of these safe harbors, these places for people to go. Fascinating.
Well, we're almost out of time, so do you have any advice for, like, people, how they can connect to their dreams and have some of these wonderful experiences that you're talking about?
Well, just get started. We all dream. You know, we all have mystical experiences, and I don't care how you try to deny it. People do. They do.
Right.
And if you really are having profound dreams, start listening and do, like you said, right off the bat, you said, you know, keep a dream journal or a log. Some people even go to the point is that they might set an alarm. They might sleep like 4 hours, and they might set a soft alarm, something that's not going to jar you and startle you, you know, to wake up and say, oh, am I in a dream? Do I have, am I seeing the color red, blue, purple? Am I having feelings? You know, writing things down, just get started. Get started. And the farther you go with it, like I said, it's a skill. The better you get at it. You just get, you hone it to a fine point. You know, you get to where you can just, you know, have it right there at your hands. The other thing is, too, is sometimes we go through quiet times where there's not a lot of dream activity. I kind of call it the butterfly phase, you know. It's like we're like the little chrysalis, and we're in our little, you know, little crusty cocoon thing, and we're not quite ready to break out. But I think that's where we're recharging our batteries. I call it downloading. We're downloading information sometimes, and the dreams aren't coming, but believe me, they will come back.
Very cool. Well, Jenny, we're pretty much out of time.
Oh, this was so fun.
It has been. Wow.
Yes,
you know,
lovely to talk to you.
Oh, same here. I want to thank you again for coming on to the show. It's been a blast.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Now, do you want to give out your website one more time?
Yes, www.bluefeatherhealingarts.com. And just, you know, hook in. The email's there, and we can email each other. It'll be fun. Awesome.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Jen.
Hey, I'm going to dream of you.
I'll dream of you, too. You know it.
You bet.
All right, everyone. That is our show for tonight. I want to thank you all for listening. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight has been Jenny Vaught. And we've been talking about dream channeling and the power of dreams. And boy, there is sure a lot of stuff you can do with the dream state. So get your dream book and start writing your dreams down and remembering your dreams. It's really important. And thank you all for listening. I hope you have a wonderful evening and a great week. Talk to you next week. Bye.